Aleichem Rabbeisai. Shar Bitachon Perek Gimel, page in the Levi Tov edition, it's page Shin Yud Gimel toward the bottom. Shin Tesvav toward the bottom. Okay. We're in the middle of discussing the concept of Hishtadlus. Hishtadlus means the material efforts that we make toward taking care of our needs. As we keep discussing, a person is supposed to trust Hashem. A person is supposed to believe that Hashem is conducting things and is going to make things work out in the best way possible. Theoretically, that should mean that we don't need to be involved at all. You sit back, you know what you're supposed to get, you'll get, and that's all. But yet, we're told, Chazal teach us, Hashem tells us that He expects us to do what we call Hishtadlus. He expects us to make material efforts toward our needs. And then, when we do that, He will give us what He predestined for us. And the question that we've been discussing now is, why? Why? Why is it set up that way? Avram, you could talk, but not to yell up the stairs. You could talk here, man. Why is it set up that way? Why does there need to be this concept called Hishtadlus? So we saw one reason yesterday, a very, very profound reason, and that is that it's dafka in the areas where we need to take care of our needs, in the need to care for food, shelter, clothing, family issues, etc. That is what provides the platform where Hashem tests us. We're going to go about it according to His mitzvahs. Now we're going to see a second reason why Hashem deemed it necessary to put this system of Hishtadlus in place. Hasheni, reason number two is at the bottom of page Shin Tezvav. Ki lulai hutzrach ha'odam. If it was not necessary for man, litroyach ulechazer ulesabev vastapoy, if it wasn't necessary for man to work toward his sustenance, this is a very fundamental point. Being idle is not good for man. If a person has too much free time on his hands, becomes idle and bored, he is liable to, and he has everything he needs, he's living a life of plenty, no responsibilities, complete leisure, he'll get into trouble. He'll disengage himself from Hashem's yoke, and he'll get involved in the wrong things, in averus. And he would not pay attention to his duties toward Hashem. Kimo Yishenemar, like the Pasuk says, that people who had a little too much of a good life, if we'll put it that way, their lives were all about parties of wine and harp and lyre and drums and flutes. There's poil Hashem le'abitu, and they never take note of what Hashem is doing. Oh my, another pasuk says, Vayishman Yeshurun. When Yisrael got fat, Vayivat, then it kicked. Meaning you have a skinny, hungry cow is humbled, it's submissive. But when the cow gets too fat, it feels too comfortable, it forgets that there's actually a hand feeding it. It just knows that it's fine, it's okay, it has no needs. So then, vayivat, it starts kicking. So shamanta avisa kasisa, Hashem accuses the Jewish people. You became very fat. And therefore, you forsake the Hashem that made you and set it up that way. The Amruzal, and Chazal also said, it's good for Torah learning to go along with Derech Eretz, meaning the need to engage in Parnasa. These are two intense occupations that simply make a person too run down. He's involved in too many rigorous activities to be involved in Averis. So it's important for a person to be busy. It's important for a person to carry responsibility on his shoulders. And then Chazal continued and said, "V'chol teira she'ein ima melacha, seifa b'teila v'gereres avayin." If you only have teira that does not involve labor, doesn't involve responsibility, doesn't involve the yoke of having to work for a living to support yourself, to support your family, it will cause a person to become idle, and it will just cause averis. Now, if you're wondering, so how does it work with the kol system, with the yeshiva system? That's a big discussion, which we're going to put off for the moment. But we will just say, once we're addressing the subject, that yes, it is a necessity of today's reality. And certainly a person who isn't engaged in either. If a person is not engaged in making a living, he's also not engaged in Torah. He's not dedicated to any of them. So, he's going to get himself into trouble. Being idle gets a person into trouble. So it was because of Hashem's care for man, he doesn't want man to mess himself up, that he made man busy. He occupied man with his material needs, and also with needing to take care of his olam haba. These two things together make life complicated, intense, rigorous. Hashem wants you to be busy with that your whole life. You shouldn't get busy with unnecessary things. You shouldn't also get busy in studies that are going to be beyond you. This is funny. You know, we're talking our generation. What was the Sahara? What were idle people busy with? You know, we're busy with, you know, philosophical journeys, philosophical queries. That was called getting yourself into trouble. Today, nobody thinks in these terms. In our hedonistic times, to think of a troublemaker as a person who's engaging in philosophical discourses that are unnecessary or extraneous is laughable. But 1,000 years ago, in the times of the Chovas Halvavas, that's what they were worried about. If a person had too much free time on his hands, he might get himself into these long-winded philosophical journeys that are not good for the spirituality, etc. But now he continues and says, but if a person does embrace the challenges and in his involvement with his material affairs, he steps up, he also has an intense program of service of Hashem, and he chooses to fear Hashem, meaning a person can very easily just get caught up in the parnasa aspect, and it takes a lot of conscientiousness, a lot of diligence to manage to have a rigorous spiritual program intertwined with, or alongside with, and intertwined with the material program. So if a person manages to do that, and he reaches a level of true bitachon, of truly trusting Hashem in all of his affairs, v'sar min hadvarim hamegunim, and he works on distancing himself from the wrong midas, v'koisek l'midas hatovos, and he's striving for, he's working on good midas, and working toward that. And this person proves himself when he is given leisure. It doesn't cause him to respond the wrong way. He doesn't get involved in the wrong things. And also more than that, this is an important point. When he has leisure, he doesn't take it easy. He fills up the time intensely with service of Hashem. And the Yetzer cannot manage to lure him, to get involved with all the lures of this world. He keeps focused, both when he's busy working toward his material needs And also when he has leisure on his hands, he keeps himself intensely busy and focused on Hashem's service, then he'll have proven himself. Meaning, what is the reason that a person needs to do ishtadlis? A, because Hashem wants to test him, and B, because being idle is not good for the person. But if a person can prove himself in both these areas, if a person shines, if a person for long enough a time excels in terms of navigating his material needs according to halacha, and also he proves himself in terms of whenever he does have leisure, he uses it well. So he proves himself in both areas, this person no longer, the reason that ishtadlis is necessary is no longer relevant to him. So the Chovetz Chavavos tells us a big point. He says, Yistalik me'alov terach ha'gilgul v'asibuv b'avas tarpoi. He says, then it's likely that Hashem actually will absolve him of the need to be involved in working toward his sustenance. Mipnei hishtalkush ne'aponim on his karim me'alov. Because he will have already passed the test. Both tests of ishtadlis he'll have already passed. What are they? Habchina, that he's tested through the need to get his material activities. Vabi'ita bataiva. And also, he's proven that when he has leisure, even when he's not busy, he knows how to utilize the time well. Then, vivayehu tarpoi b'li terach u'b'li yagivo. Yeah, this is a very interesting concept. A certain prediction the Chovetz Chavavos is making. The Rambam says this also. And when a person really proves himself in these areas, Hashem will relieve him of the need to work toward his parnasa, and he'll see himself cared for in many different ways, and he'll more and more be able to really just dedicate himself to his spiritual pursuits. Okay, so if you remember, this was really point number 5, the Chovetz Chavavos' steps toward living a life of bitachon. We just spent some time on the concept of ishtadlis, but it was really premise number 5 for true bitachon, understanding ishtadlis properly. Now, he's still going to discuss it at more length. Whatever the case is, the point that he's making now is if you want to live a life of true bitachon, you have to understand that hishtadlis is not, you know, necessitated by reality. You know, if you want food, you have to work for it. No, it's not how it is. Bitachon tells you that Hashem is controlling everything, that Hashem is controlling everything, and that Hashem is deciding what you can get, and He does not need your help. That you do need to do hishtadlis, but to approach it with the right understanding. Why do I need to do ishtadlis? For 2 reasons. Hashem wants a platform to test me on, and Hashem wants me to be kept busy. Hashem doesn't want me to be idle. And therefore, He does require me to make efforts toward my material needs. But you're doing it with this understanding, not with the understanding that, well, my material needs really depend on my efforts. Okay. Now, the Chovetz Chavavos, we're just going to say what discussion he moves into now. He just said that if a person really proves himself, he can reach a place where Hashem will relieve him of the need to be involved in ishtadlis. And Hashem will provide for him, miraculously, if we'll put it that way. Miraculously doesn't have to mean, you know, mamish open miracles, but that the person, lemaisa, somehow or the other, is having his ends meet. So the question to this is that if so, it seems to be a rule. It seems to be a rule that a tzaddik will have his material needs cared for once he's been good enough for long enough a time. And this leads into the automatic question of, well, we see that that's often not the case. We sometimes see tzaddikim particularly are very much struggling. Which leads into the very broad question of why is it that the righteous will suffer? Why is it that bad things will happen to good people? This is what the Chovetz Chavavos is going to move into now. If you may remember, in the women's shir, We spent a lot of time on this mamish at the beginning of our Chavis Halvava series. Now this is a big subject. The Chavis Halvava is going to be getting into it now in a very, very profound way. We'll see if we'll continue tomorrow, or if perhaps we may begin tomorrow to learn some Rosh Hashanah in Yanim for the next couple of days, and put this off for after Yom Tov. We'll see. Okay, we'll end here for tonight. Mm-hmm.